It's time for us to get love right, folks. And so we invite you to check out the King and Queen of Hearts.
This is an incredible training for couples who are struggling in unsatisfying sex lives.
It's also for lifelong learners, people whose relationship is great and they want to make it even better.
In this three-part training that is filled with 8 different tutorials like the art of tantric kissing, eye gazing that is deep and intimate, connective and not creepy, and sacred sexual meditations, you do them with your lover to juice you up before sex. Communication tips and really, really valuable relationship essentials are all found in this training.
You know, a common mistake couples make is they wait, they put it off, they avoid, they resist. And if you want to continue doing that, well, good luck. But if you really want to make a change, get this today. Don't let another month go by where you're losing precious connection with your partner.
Plus, you can't beat the price on this program. One of our clients, Casey, said a spark in their intimacy is back on track.
Now, Sarah and her husband, you know what she told us, Willow? She said, finally, he learned how to kiss her right.
Oh my God, hallelujah. So happy for Sarah.
So if you want some radical changes in your love life, go to sexreimagined.com, click on courses, and scroll until you find the King and Queen of Hearts. And because you are a fan of the podcast, you can use the King and Queen 10 code in order to get 10% off. That is King and Queen 10, and you can use it in the checkout.
Are you ready for an incredible interview with the one and only Susan Bratton, who is an intimacy expert to millions? She's a champion and advocate for all those who desire passion their whole life long. And she's a spokesperson for some pretty cool shit that I didn't know about, like Gaines Wave and Femi Wave. So when you listen to the interview, you're going to learn all about that. And she's got 2 companies, Personal Life Media, which is all about heart-connected love-making techniques. And she's also got another company called betterlover.com. And that's really where you can listen to Susan's free show and tune in with her. I mean, she's been doing this for over 2 decades. She has so much incredible content, so much to teach you about how to become a better lover and just glean more pleasure from your sex and intimate life.
Amen. So tune in, strap it on. What do we say? Let's tell me what
tune
the line
in.
Is.
Tune in, turn on, and fall in love with Susan Bratton.
Tune
but strap
in.
It on too.
Strap it on. Tune in. What was it? Tune in. I always miss the second
turn
one.
Turn on.
Oh, turn on. How could I forget turn on? That's
turn
not
on,
fair.
Baby. Come on.
Oh,
turn on, on.
Turn on and fall in love with Susan. Ciao.
Welcome to the Sex Reimagined podcast, where sex is shame-free and pleasure forward. Let's get into the show.
All right, let's dive right in.
Yeah, welcome. We're here with Susan Bratton, and we are so excited to just talk about, I mean, Susan's been at this for over 2 decades. Like, she has really run the gamut on what it means to help people heal sexually, to come into more pleasure, to enliven themselves on every level when it comes to sexuality. So we're thrilled that you're with us, Susan. And, you know, our topic is really focused around how to overcome shame, how to overcome sexual trauma, how to eradicate guilt. A lot of times guilt comes from religious upbringing, but not always. It can just be ingrained in our society as well. And so we just can't wait to hear all of the wisdom that's going to emanate from you.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, and thank you for having me, and I'm happy to be here with you. I've been following your career since time immemorial, and rooting for your success as well because of the good work that you do in the world. And, you know, it's a damn shame we have sexual trauma. I don't
right.
like that.
Totally.
And that it's so darn rampant.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that, of course, 20 years ago, when I became a sexpert as my second career, I launched a publishing company because what happened was I'd been with my husband for over a decade and I'd never had an orgasm from intercourse.
Mm.
And I stopped wanting to have intercourse. I stopped wanting to have sex with him. I started avoiding him. I did, you know, like what I would call mercy sex with him. And he was miserable. He checked out. He was having an affair just to cope. He wanted to stay in the relationship. He loved me. And I wanted to have great sex. I just didn't know how to do it either. So we did the things. We went to therapists. We went to workshops. We did personal growth. We started getting really honest with each other. That was around when Brad Blanton launched Radical Honesty. And we're like, all right, let's try it.
Oh, boy.
Right? So it was, you know, that kind of
nexus.
How did
that work out?
Really well.
Good.
Super well. Boy, did that mature us. And what was so interesting about being honest, like saying things like, when you put your penis inside me, it takes my turn on down.
Right.
You know,
it was a hard like thing this, to be honest about, but it's so important because it's key. It's crucial. Yeah.
What are your body sensations? You know, and it was like a blunt instrument that provided no pleasure. And I was like, here we go again. I got to do this thing. You know, it was just misery. Yeah. And luckily, my husband is very strong. And I honestly think people are very strong if you give them the credit for being strong, like, you know, allow them the honor of your honesty. And honesty is tough, more tough for you to be honest almost than hearing the honesty, because it really points out your own inequities, foibles, wounds, humanity, etc. And it was really, really helpful for us to understand what the problems were. And because I'd been sexually abused as a child, my stepfather would sexually assault me and molest me. He did it repeatedly. He beat me. He beat my mother. I grew up in this super insecure household. I had to be the parent of my parents. They were so soft, so sensitive, so weak. My sweet artisan parents, you know. And so I was dissociating during sex with my husband. I was not orgasmic. And yet I was a horny little girl. I wanted great sex. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to have it. I just didn't know how to do it. And so we started on this journey to heal our marriage, and we did the therapy, and I worked through getting to forgiveness for my transgressor, realizing he had a shittier life than I did. And I could move past this and learn how to be present during sex. We did some great sex workshops at the time. We learned expanded orgasm practice, which is basically yoni massage and clitoral stroking without requirement to repay. No quid pro quo.
Yeah.
No, you do me, I do you. Just, I'm going to do you. I'm just going to do you.
Right.
I'm going to do you as much as you need to get done.
Yeah. And just receive it. Open that receptive vessel.
I'm going to fill you up. I'm going to awaken your yoni. And then we did a lot of G-spot work to do a lot of release. I can remember just like howling, and things would come out of me that sounded like a banshee or a witch or a freight train.
You like don't even recognize the sounds coming out of your body. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I would cry and cry afterward. I mean, for my husband to go through all of that with me. And I honestly think that for so many of us who've been traumatized, both male and female bodied partners, it's our lovers that can really help us, because they have the time and the hands-on touch. Because I am such a believer in somatic release.
It has to come from the soma, or it won't clear. Yeah. Now, exactly. I'm curious, Susan, did you know at the time that you were having these banshee screams and all these emotions and all of what was going? Were you aware and conscious of that you were clearing these traumas that you'd had?
Yeah,
Yeah.
We were actively doing it. We understood that this was a path to release. You know,
that's what you were up to. Yeah.
We had a lot of good support. So that was great. A lot of mentors. I have been so fortunate to have the most incredible mentors in the sexuality field.
Mm.
So anyway, I kind of cleared that stuff, and it was surprising how fast it happened.
When you take it
head on and you're like, I'm going to fix this bullshit. Mm-hmm. You do. At least I was able to clear it. Now, that being said, I'm a very fast and facile emotional processor.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that about myself. My husband, on the other hand, he's a very slow. It'll take him months to really process something.
Yeah.
So I do understand the range of how long it takes for people to do it. So I don't want my story to make anyone who just needs a lot more time to work through their stuff to feel like they're doing anything wrong, because you're not. Yeah. And I really think that now I'm learning that a lot of that is our genetics and epigenetics, mm-hmm. and that depending on the methylation of things like our serotonin and dopamine transmitters, mm-hmm. we can clear or not clear quickly. I was talking to Kashif Khan. He runs a company called the DNA Company, and they do genetic testing. It's more personality-based genetic testing. It's quite interesting. And one of the things that Cash and I talked about was, I said to him, you know, one time I sent out an email. I have a sex tips newsletter, as you know, for many, 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 many years. And really, I should say that what I do in my world of sex stuff as a sex pert is I create passionate lovemaking techniques and bedroom communication skills. I'm not a trauma therapist or healer. I don't work one-on-one. I publish orgasm pleasuring skills, bedroom communication skills, and I show people how to achieve their orgasmic potential. I show them what they can do and then how to do it so they get there through my books, through my writing, through free things, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I'm focused on the plus up, but I understand that there's always trauma, shame, embarrassment. So what I'm doing in my techniques is A part of it addresses the insecurities, the shame, the dissociations, the lack of awakening of tissue, the shutdown of the body. Mm-hmm. You know, I assume that people are entering into learning techniques with some of this baggage.
Started,
some of this,
yeah, you the know, journey. They've been stickiness. On the journey. And is that what you're saying? Like, they're not beginners. They're somewhere along the road.
On yeah. the path.
And ready yeah. to advance whatever they've already collected, it sounds yeah. like.
Yeah.
They're working on their sexual growth.
Yeah.
We respond to our environment, and part of it is based on our genetics. And I sent out an email to 400,000 people. And I said, okay, if you're not getting the sex you want, tell me what's holding you back. And the only thing that I don't want to hear from the people who are like, I don't have a partner, because that's not what this is about. This is about all the other stuff. And I said, I won't be able to answer you individually because there'll be too many people who reply to me. But I will get back to you with some ideas. And I saw these emails, doom, 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 just filling up my inbox. And I got hundreds and hundreds of responses. And Maurice, who's been with me for over a decade now, she and I systematically went through them and she put them on a spreadsheet. We read all of them and we looked at what the issues were. And a lot of the issues were health related, because your libido and your health are two sides of the same coin. If you're not well, you have no libido. So you got to go to the root of that. The other ones were people who kind of hit a roadblock, you know, oh, my partner has ED, so we stopped having quote unquote sex, because in our mind, sex is intercourse. And so why do anything if it doesn't lead to intercourse? Again, that's a patriarchal vestige mm-hmm. of religiosity that's telling us that what sex is intercourse, which is just hogwash. Now, I love intercourse. The caveat is that one of the main things that I do is help women, female vulva owners, orgasm from intercourse, because they think they can't, and then their partner thinks they can't, and then they stop trying, and it's mm-hmm. literally a learned skill, like all orgasmic response. Totally. We learn how to come. Yeah. So one of the three books I'm writing right now is titled Orgasmic Intercourse. So
beautiful.
I'm just getting great all title. The stuff into me. I agree. All the stuff into it. So then I noticed that there were other reasons too, but it was mostly either health related, which includes mental health, or it was betrayal. 20% of the responses were betrayal. So I was talking to Cash about this, and I was like, yeah. do you have any insight into this unusual thing where there's a group of people, let's call it 20%, of people who cannot seem to process through their betrayal and get over it and trust again, and it holds them back from having the intimacy that they deserve. Oh, and he said, I do. He said, here's what's interesting. There are a couple of genetic SNPs that a large majority, about 20% of the population, have that are serotonin related, serotonin and dopamine related, and they impact a person in two ways. Number one, when you think of the thing that happened to you, the abuse or whatever it might be, even if it's, I don't know, you know, obtuse rather than an acute memory, you know, it could be that it's not a sexual assault. It's just like the accumulation of all of the shame of the patriarchal religious oppression that we've grown up in. The stew where societal. The fish, we can't see the water.
Yes.
Right.
Conditioning, you know, conditioning belief systems.
Exactly. For them, every time they think of the pain, it is as fresh as the day the knife went in.
Jeez.
They bleed every time they think of it. The second thing is that they feel it like the wound is happening right now. And I'm like, holy shit. Okay. So, because remember I started off saying I'm a fast processor.
Yeah. Right.
I'm able. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Genetics, right?
Yeah.
Genetics.
Interesting.
Your serotonin.
I can forgive. I can forget. I move forward. I let stuff go. I don't have remorse. If someone betrays me, I'm like, oh, that's a fucking shame. Excuse me if I curse. I apologize.
I'll curse away.
That's a shame that, you know, they're so horrible and that they treated me that way. But let them go. You know, that kind of thing. I can just move. Other people cannot. So that is a very interesting thinking. Like, if you are struggling and you can't stop struggling, you may be that person who really needs extra support. You're not going to get through it yourself.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make that point. Now, pivotal moments. You asked me about that, Leah.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I just had a pivotal moment. Here I am, 61 years old.
They keep coming, these pivotal moments.
They never end.
Thank God,
yeah,
right?
Thank God.
Having the best sex of my life, really just multi-orgasmic from lots of different stimulation, highly activated yoni, highly activated orgasmic body, ability to stay in massive amounts of pleasure sensation, sexual self-confidence, comfort with my body, turn on at a super high level with my lovers. So I'm having all of that, not to brag, but to say that you can get
brag.
There.
Yeah, on
and
it. Yeah.
That
more
this
women
is...
need to say, I'm having pleasure.
Great sex.
Sure. Yeah.
But the other night, this was probably a week ago. So one of the things that I've been working on is my cowgirl orgasmic pleasure. So I like to lay my husband down and get on top of him and enter him into mm-hmm. me.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
And my husband was very, very afraid for me to do cowgirl for a long time because when he was young, one of his girlfriends, I think it was Debbie.
Debbie, must have been Debbie.
It was Debbie. Damn you, Debbie. And Karen Vanderplug, she kissed him and it weirded him out too. Like he's got some traumas.
He
right?
got his own trauma. Yeah.
He got his own traumas. And Debbie hurt his penis and he's got a little kink in it that we've literally been trying to fix for decades. And he was afraid that if I was on cowgirl, I would break his dick, hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's always been afraid. So my other lover, not afraid, wanted me on top of him, loved it, kiss me, play with my boobs, running commentary about his adoration for me while I'm using him for my pleasure.
Yeah.
He got me to the point where I could be good enough that I knew what I was doing. I had the body movements kind of, you know, unconsciously, competently worked into my muscle memory so that I wasn't going to hurt his penis. And my husband felt that when he would allow me to try. I felt that I'd gotten some confidence and he started to let go and relax and have a good time.
Awesome.
And the other day we were doing a sex position. It's what my husband's favorite is when I have my butt all the way to the edge of the bed and I have this little bookcase. I can stick one foot up on it on one side and he can put pillows under my other leg. So he can stand at the edge of our high bed.
It's a great
and
position.
I can it use a toy position. On my clitoris and he can be penetrating me and we just come
great
and come
visuals.
And come and it's super fun. But what I realized was when he enters me, I have PTSD at 61 about the fact that I was illegally entered. I had a legal enter and break in from my sexual trauma. And I don't like it when someone else is control of the entry. Remember when I told you when you put your penis in me, it brings my turn on down?
That's
right.
It
took me 20 years to connect the dots.
Wow, that I got chills.
I don't want someone to penetrate me. I want to be the first slide.
Yes.
And I just figured that out at 61. Wow. And so it was funny because I wondered what it was about cowgirl that I loved so much. And it's not the speed of entry or anything, because at first I was like, go slow, go really slow. You always enter me too fast. It's too much for me. You kind of lose your mind when you get that penis near that yoni. And I just really need you to slow it. And it wasn't the slow. It was
you being in
who
control.
Who was in control. So that was a really interesting breakthrough for me. And honestly, I feel like now fast acting processor that I kind of like identified it and I can let it go. Yeah. I don't have to have that like anymore.
Right.
Yeah, you broke through.
Somehow the charge dissipated with the realization that it belonged in an old story that was complete. And now it got to the surface and now it's moved out.
Yeah.
Beautiful. What a great story.
Absolutely beautiful. And I also love how this story really exemplifies the power of having multiple lovers, of either being non-monogamous or poly, if that is something that interests you. I mean, there's a lot of value in it because, you know, as you said, Susan, like using him for your pleasure, like you were using him to break through to another level of your sexuality, another expansion. And then you were able to take that to your husband. Now, this is the same husband, right, that you've been with all along.
30 years this year. Yeah.
It's such a testament to the work, because you guys were at the point where you were like, it is just not working. Like, we cannot get on the same page with sexuality. And that's one of the big things I think that, you know, breaks couples up. And so you guys stuck with it. You did the work. You look at where you're at now. I mean, such an incredible journey you guys have been on together, and you're probably so much more bonded, so much more intimate, all that honesty, all that connection. Yeah.
Well, and it's been 30 years, and you don't go through 30 years without having quite a few of those moments where you're like, okay,
this isn't gonna work,
messed up right now, and we need to fix it. I had a year like that last year and with my husband, and he being a slow processor, he needed to make a change about a relationship that was not serving me. And he did not want to give that relationship up. And he tried everything to figure out how to make us both happy. And it just wasn't going to happen. And, you know, I gave him the space. I gave him the space. I gave him the space. I gave him, all my friends were like, my God, I'd have been long gone. I'm like, I'm not going to leave my husband. He's my life partner. I've been with him longer than I haven't.
Right.
Literally just crested over into longer than I haven't.
Right.
And we have a little hashtag, Team Sweetie.
Sweetie. That's great.
And we started that hashtag very early on in our relationship. And I told him this year was the first year that really tested. And I always said his life is as important to me as my own life. And then I realized that's not true. His life is 99.99% as important as my life. But if he is doing something that is at such a level of disservice to me that I can't put up with it, I will have to leave. And I told him that.
Yeah.
And even then, it took him a really long time to disengage from the, because of course the person didn't want it and she was trying to steal him from me, and there was tons of drama and all this stuff. These are the risks that you run when you have multiple partners sometimes. Things, and it's the second time it happened. And yet I continue to persist with multiple lovers because of the expansion. I feel like I am a conduit to orgasmic potential for others. If I can't have a lot of experiences of different kinds then there's no way that I could sit here and tell you what your possibility is. I have to push all the limits. I call myself an orgasmonaut because I go to the far
reaches.
That's what we're
going to label your summit title, orgasmonaut.
Yeah, orgasmonaut. Exactly.
Orgasmonaut. Did I say right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I go to the far reaches of our orgasmic potential in all the 20 different ways we can have orgasms. The 20th one is wild card. I'm always finding new ways to come. Because I feel like if I can get a person on the journey of expanding their orgasmic pleasure, then the focus becomes on these learning and building skills and really being in pleasure and finding ways to stay in pleasure, going from an orgasm to multiple orgasm to extended orgasm to expanded orgasm to orgasm from different locations in the body, orgasm from objects of pleasure, orgasm from specific techniques like deliberate orgasm or extended massive orgasm, expanded orgasm, these or like erotic hypnosis is a way, you know?
Yeah.
And so I really like to do all of those types of things, and it requires me to have different partners. And I love to have different partners. And just recently, I said to my two main partners, my husband and my boyfriend, and I've also had a girlfriend that I've been having experiences with. I was her ecstatic birth massage partner for the last year, all through her pregnancy, giving her yoni massages, belly massages, breast massages, so she could have an orgasmic birth.
Right on.
And did she?
Which was super hot. At 45, she couldn't get dilated and ultimately had, at the last minute, after 3 days of labor, had a cesarean. But we're like, hey, you had an orgasmic pregnancy all the way up to the end.
Oh,
I mean, the night before that baby
came out. Happy, healthy little baby coming out. Yeah.
That baby is a happy baby. She had tons of orgasms in the womb.
I
recently said to my guys, I'm really in this kind of expansion experience right now, and I want to have a few other lovers in a very safe way. We do fluid bonded STD testing prior to lovemaking. And I have one of the books that I wrote, I've written 44 books and programs.
That's amazing.
44. Because sex is such a vast landscape, and I want to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And my books are Little Hinges That Swing Big Doors, easy, short things you can do that massively increment your sex life. I'm thinking of the soulmate embrace, how to be held in a way you've never been held so you can completely relax. Because if you're with a male-bodied partner, your partner is trying to push your buttons and, you know, spin your dials right away to get you turned on. They don't understand that arousals and relaxation, because they're doing patriarchal old school sex, not matriarchal sex. So I spend a lot of time talking about what does matriarchal sex look like? And all my girls are like, that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yes.
So crazy. But I wanted to make a point about that. I was talking about the 44 books. I was talking about something. I might have lost it. I have so many things that I want to tell you. I'll come back to it if I think of it, but let's move on. Sorry about that.
If I can just say this one thing, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners and viewers going, wow, I wonder what that's like to be in that body.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Like she's describing so many amazing things. Yeah. Like I feel like my body has a one note potential, and she's talking about like an orchestra of orgasmic variety.
Yeah.
And so if you're feeling that way, connect to mirror neurons, like especially if you can watch this, you know, see how vibrant and filled with vitality Susan is.
Aww.
See how she's just sparks. And sure, the sparkle in her eyes means a sparkle in her smile. There's a radiance that comes from being a well-loved, well-fucked, well-revitalized orgasmic woman. And we are all capable. There's nothing inside of her that is not capable inside of you. It's just going to look different because you're your own recipe. But her flavor, what she knows, the wisdom that she has in her body can be passed from her body to your body.
Yeah, for sure.
You just think of mirror neurons. Just say, body, I want what she has.
Yes. If I don't show you what's possible, how would you know?
Indeed.
I remembered the thing too. So one of my books is called Relationship Magic, and it's not a sex book. It's a relationship book because sex starts outside of the bedroom. And if you So I think about libido, desire, and arousal. Libido is the health of your body. Desire is how you feel about yourself and your partner. And arousal is how our arousal pattern is different than our male-bodied partners. And until we understand it, we're playing the patriarchal sex game and we're not going to be able to live to our full feminine sexual potential. And so my relationship magic's in the desire circle of things, because if you don't get what you need outside the relationship, it's difficult to get what you need inside it. And it essentially helps you figure out your top four or five relationship values, the things you want most, the feelings you want to feel in being with a person in relationship. And my number one is security, because I had such an insecure childhood.
Sure.
Need my partner to take care of me. My second is what I call freedom. To do what I want to do. I'm a sovereign being. I own my pussy. I own my life. And I want my partner to really keep their eye on my safety. My third is honesty. I love knowing what's really going on. My fourth is what I would call novelty and variety. I don't want to do the same things all the time. And I'm married to an introvert who likes to be on the computer about 10 or 15 hours a day. But I'm the girl who gets all the great invitations to go out and have all the fun times. And so he loves to go with me and have an incredible life. And I love to do lots of crazy things. And so I was joking the other day to my boyfriends, and we're all on a WhatsApp group together. We have video calls together. I tell when I'm with one, the other ones all hear what we did that was super hot. I share my frames with them.
Are you all best friends, or is it a little different than that?
My husband and my boyfriend and I are a throuple.
Okay.
And they're both straight, but I've had over 500 threesomes with my husband and a male partner. I like those two men and a woman threesomes.
Yeah.
I love that, like just being completely swamped with love and pleasure.
Sounds pretty healing to me.
I know.
Let's bring that more of that.
Bring
please.
It on, baby. You know what? When a woman gets turned on, sometimes it takes a couple of partners to get you everything you need.
Yeah.
So I was joking that my lovers right now, I have, I've got my stringers, I've got my third boyfriend, and I've got my kind of like lover on the side that I see whenever our schedules mesh, and he'll have to screen in again because he's got other partners, but he's completely different.
Yeah.
And so I have my security partner, who's my go-to. He knows how to give me the most incredible orgasms of all of them because he's been doing it for 30 years and he's just unbelievable. And then I have my fun and adventure guy, my boyfriend. He's very adventurous and athletic. And he was the one that let me ride him wild cowgirl, you know?
Yeah.
So he's the like athletic, crazy sex positions guy. Huh? And then I have my other two, which are my variety and my novelty and my kinky. And, you know, so I'm literally, I just was laughing the other day that my relationship values and my lovers mirror each other in this interesting way where I'm kind of satisfying these different types
of
relationships that I love to have that fuel me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really, really enjoy that. So, I mean, I don't think that for most women, especially women starting at the place of I am in trauma, are ready to get four lovers or five lovers. But I can tell you that 20 years ago, I didn't even look at my vulva. I didn't even have orgasms. I didn't do any of this stuff. And all I did was learn how to do it. And then I just happened to be the person who likes to write it down or shoot videos to explain it to you guys so that you can do it too. Here's what I'm having and here's the recipe to get there. That's all I like to do is give people the map to the territory. So they are like, oh, I didn't know I could have that. Oh, and here's the recipe. I'm going to try. I want to learn how to ejaculate. I want to learn to have nipplegasms. Oh, you mean you can have an orgasm going down on a cock? Oh, you mean it's not just for them, it's for you? When I give my guys, quote unquote, blow jobs, which I like to call blow adventures.
That's much better than jobs.
Blow adventure tools.
Blow experiences.
OMG.
Blow adventures.
Oh, my God. On. We're going to have you back just to talk about
it's
blow
not a
adventures.
Job. Yeah.
Sure. I'd be, it was so funny. I was in Austin last week And a few of my girlfriends and I went out to the Four Seasons bar, and we were there for 6 hours. We hardly drank. We had like one bottle of champagne or something and had some snacks and stuff. But we just talked and talked and talked. And my girlfriend, she's like, can you tell me how to give my boyfriend a blowjob? And I'm like, sure. Can you show me how to use your essential oils for lymphatic drainage?
Love it.
So we traded wisdom.
Yeah, I love that.
Love it. That's so love fun. It. So That's fun. The best.
And I'm curious, Susan, like, I know you're fast processor, not everyone is, but like from the time where you and your husband were like, okay, let's heal this shit. Like, I have this old trauma that needs to be addressed. And from that point until what point did you guys decide to open up your relationship? And I'm sure there was many points along the path where poly or open relationship felt like a lot of work for you guys. So I'm just curious about that whole journey.
That journey.
It's never really felt like work.
Oh, good. That's good to
hear. I mean, there have been times where we've had heartbreak and frustration over a particular partner. Mm-hmm. There have been times when partnerships have come to an end and I've let lovers go. And that's never easy. It's funny because I had a lover for 9 years. The reason I've had 500 threesomes is that I had a lover for 9 years, and every single week he would come and we would have multiple threesomes together with my husband. And so it racks up after a few years, you know, you do that for a decade and you get to 500.
That's right. Yeah. Mathematics.
Yeah. And it was so much fun to learn how to start connecting and feeling each other through each other and creating those electric circuits that, you know, are across all our bodies and things like that. But it took about a year of therapy for me to just wrestle the trauma beast to the ground. And at the same time, we were concurrently going to sex workshops and learning how to make love, learning actual skills. Sex is learned skills. Good sex is just, you just got to learn. Someone's got to tell you how to do it. And when you do it, then you're like, oh my God, this was not hard at all. It's just that you can't often figure it out yourself. It's better to have somebody teaching you things to do. And my particular style of sex, if you will, and by sex, I mean all the things, not intercourse, is what I call heart-connected, conscious, passionate lovemaking. What I'm not teaching you kink or BDSM or any of those things. I am teaching you how to ravish and be ravished. And that could include holding you down or blindfolding you or things like that, sensation play or what have you. But I'm really in that how to open your heart. I had such an armored heart from being afraid to love. It took me more than a decade to actually start opening my heart to my spend.
Right.
I was so shut down.
Yeah.
Deborah Annapole. I don't know if you remember Deborah. Yes, she passed away. Yeah, she was such a dear mentor of mine. And she taught me that the heart is both a muscle and a door. And that to feel more love, you must love more. That you actually feel more love by loving than by being loved. And that you over time build that muscle and learn to take in the love by giving the love. That's where you start.
Beautiful.
I mean, that's exactly the kind of, you know, tip. Yeah. It's transformational. That's a little hinge that literally swings a heart door.
Right. Yes. Can I ask about a correlation with that in your experience?
Yeah.
Can you see, is there a coincidence or is there something in sync with that, the armoring of your heart, that opening of your heart as you went through the healing process that has led to a more expanded worldview?
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think part of it is an expanded worldview of having much more compassion for everyone at wherever they are. But I also think all the oxytocin generated from all of the body touching and pleasure that I allowed myself to finally receive helped me be less annoyed with everyone. You know, oxytocin, they call it the bonding hormone. But what oxytocin also does is it lets you be less annoyed with everyone. Like if we could exchange fluoride for oxytocin in our water supply, we would be a lot less pissed off and get rid of a lot of the social media fake news stuff.
Yeah.
We would have a transformed country.
Yeah, we sure would. Oxytocin's a powerful one for sure.
Yeah, it's a mood uplifter.
Expanded and open, receptive. So good.
So to finish off, was it hard to become poly? when we did those concurrent things, which were this our own couple's somatic healing, the work to come to compassion and forgiveness for my transgressor and get it all out of the trauma, with the learning the techniques at the workshops and becoming good and starting to orgasm and enjoying ourselves and becoming multi-orgasmic together. Those were actually concurrent experiences. And when we learned how to be good in bed together, we're like, we should have sex with other people. Wouldn't that be fun? You know, wow. It's like having a new toy. Wow. It's like having a new skill. Yeah. Let's get some players on the field, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And we started asking our friends if they wanted to do stuff with us. And they're like, ew, no, that's disgusting. You're gross. And we were like, we pissed off our friends. They were super contracted. That's horrible. And one of our friends saw what we were doing and went, Suze, Tim, there are these things called conscious communities. And I'm in a couple and I'd like to invite you in because I think your people are in these conscious communities. And that was what I was doing, was this heart connected, conscious, passionate love making. Mm-hmm. I don't teach sex techniques. I teach that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I teach what it's like to have that and get there and own it. The consciousness, being present, overcoming your shame, consent, you know, boundaries, all that is the conscious. The passionate is understanding how a female arousal cycle is totally different than a male arousal cycle and being confident enough to honor your arousal, like not faking it, not pushing yourself, not being penetrated or not doing anything till your body is like, I need to have that now. Mm-hmm. I'm ready now. Allowing myself the time to get turned on, slowing my partner down to the pace of my yoni. One of my lovers that I just saw, he's a very technical guy, which I love because I'm kind of sapiosexual, which means I like to have sex with really smart people, like brainiacs. Give me the Mensa people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my place to be would be like a poly conscious Mensa group, you know? That was like my idea of a great Friday night.
Yeah, yeah, cool.
And he and I had a wonderful couple of days together. And I said, hey, you know how to do mid-journey AI graphic creation. There's this image that I would like to have. Could you see if mid-journey would make it for me? And he's like, sure, let's go. And of course, we're standing there naked in front of his stand-up computer desk. And I'm loving just how adorable he is standing there naked doing mid-journey. And I said, here's what I want. I want a picture of a woman. I'd love her to be naked. And originally we started out with the prompt. I want bricks to be shooting out of her. I want her legs to be in the air and I want bricks to be shooting out of her yoni, building a wall. Well, we couldn't get the shooting out of her yoni thing because Midjourney doesn't do any kind of sexual stuff at all. But we ended up with a woman in basically a transparent bodysuit. So she kind of looked naked. It had a couple of pretend little AI generated buttons in the back that you could barely see, building a wall. Mm. And that is a metaphor for me of, I always joke that every time you do anything sexually before your yoni is ready for it and asks you to give it to her, that she manufactures another brick in the wall of your future sexless life. You are, by rushing yourself and not honoring the speed, tempo, appetite, and desire of your yoni in that moment, because she is a capricious little nymph. She wants different things all the time because we're on 28-day cycles and we have, I slept till 9 o'clock this morning and we had a 10 o'clock call.
And
I went to bed last night. I needed the sleep. Yeah. You know, so we're always so different.
Yeah.
And so stop building the wall to your future sexless life by forcing her to spit out a brick because she's pissed because she was penetrated too fast, or you felt like you had to fake it, or you didn't wait till you were fully lubricated, or you didn't wait until your yoni was literally sucking his penis in instead of him pushing it in. Like all those things, if you want this or you want that, ask for it. I don't know what I want. How do I know what I want? She's talking to you all the time.
Yeah,
your yoni is actually running the game.
That's
just
right.
Tune in to KLUV. That's the station. That's the radio station your yoni's transmitting on. And yeah. You can tune into her and she will tell you what you want. And then you are just, your other lips, the ones on your mouth, are the ones that can form the words. Her pussy lips can't make words, but your mouth lips can. So use those to tell your partner or partners what she wants. And you're just Team Sweetie.
Team Sweetie.
In service to your yoni. You work together to give yoni what she wants. And then everything just flows and you start to climb up that upward pleasure spiral. I think about it like helix, the double helix of DNA. The two lovers, sometimes three, that are that are swirling around together and building this passionate turn on, this really highly aroused desire for each other.
Oh my God. Okay,
that
Susan.
So well said.
So, I know. Phenomenal.
Those are just like wisdom bombs left and right. I love
good.
It. Love bombs. Love
totally.
It.
So good. So you're clearly a very sexually sovereign woman, right?
You
know your body, you know your sexuality, you know how to hold yourself. What does that do for your male partners? What does that allow for them?
Well, first of all, they are completely besotted with me. They're constantly waiting for the next moment to be intimate with me. They're in a constant state of excitement and turn on and support and love. And they're just like literally like a gong. They're like, I love this girl.
Yeah.
So they're always making dates with me. They want to know the next time we can be together. So do I. Like you go from wondering if you're really up for sex to putting it on the calendar to make sure it happens and,
right.
you know, setting up your dates and things. So.
Yeah.
They totally love me. They support me. They encourage me. They adore me. They worship me. They support my awakening and my expansion. They're along for the ride. Honestly, I'm like this, you know, super sexy woman shooting through the air and all these guys are holding on to my cape.
They're riding the shanty waves with you.
They are.
So they get to go along and increase their vitality and you guys
yes.
are just spitting vitality back and forth to each other.
I'm curious. Like, of course, they're in love with you and worshiping you. That goes without saying. But I'm curious more, like, what does it allow for them to feel inside of their own bodies? How does it change their relationship to their sexuality? And how does that change their, you know, other sectors of their life, their work, their health, their all that?
I think that this whole notion of just being super honest and being present in the moment to what we can possibly co-create. Yeah. One of the things that they feel is very confident that there's always going to be a fun adventure. Whatever it is, we're going to make it up in the moment and we're going to have fun. So there's a lot of variety for them. They feel very studly and masculine.
Nice.
They feel very accomplished because I can come so well with them.
Uh-huh.
They love their penises. I've got them all pumping, using a penis pump to keep, because I mean, I have boyfriends that range from one's 50, one's 56, one's 59, one's going to be 66 this year. He's 65.
Yeah.
And they have to maintain their erectile function. So they get Gaines waves. They do pee shots. They pump their penis. They sunlight their ball. They're all working on keeping their manhood not only as good as when they were 20, but even better. They've got more skill. They're they do full body male multiple orgasm. They've got fantastic stamina. They've got sexual self-confidence. And when they have other lovers, which they do, they know how to treat their other lovers. They know how to, one of the things that they love the most is that they take all the experiences we've had together and then they help other women open to their orgasmic potential so they feel so good about themselves. Like,
look at you, Susan, spreading the love through the men.
It's rippling out to yonis everywhere.
Ripple.
I love that. Oh,
fantastic.
I want to ask you a question about that. What's the favorite technique? Does anyone have like a favorite, the pump or the Gaines wave or the injection?
the pump is the number one thing you do. So the Gaines waves are a series of six treatments that you go in to a practitioner that does it, like, and it knocks the plaque off their penis and it stimulates new tissue growth. It keeps the overall penile volume good. It makes them real firm.
Sound wave for that?
It's sound waves. That's exactly right, Leah. And it keeps them real firm. But the pumps, they pump two or three times a week. That brings the blood flow into the penis. It increases the blood carrying capacity of the penis. It expands the capillary system. And it actually stretches through the vacuum. It stretches both the skin of the penis and what's called the tunica albuginea, which is the membrane that kind of holds the spongy tissue inside the penis. And so the pumping, who knew I was going to turn out to be the queen of penis pumps?
Penis pumps.
Well, someone's got to hold that crown.
I really do. I really love to help men.
You got it.
I love to help men optimize their penile potential.
Function.
And I also, I'm a big woman. I'm almost 6 feet tall. And I've got a giant yoni. Like, one of the things I'm working on right now is an article about deep penetration and what are called cervical orgasms. But there's so much more than that. But that's like the placeholder name for it.
Yeah.
And so I need pretty large penises to kind of really fill me up and take me to my... I can have fun with a smaller penis.
Right.
But I like them
to be filled up
and strong and solid and hard and veiny and healthy, and that's what I like. So that's what I create with my partner. So when I when I have a partner who has atrophy, they've been in a long-term sexless relationship or what have you, I got to do the remediation. But I love watching them fall back in love with their man hammer.
Oh my
it's
god,
it's so nice.
That's
I just
fantastic.
Love it.
That's a new one for me. I love it, man hammer.
I got so many names for a penis.
Oh my god. You should write a book on that, or
you
have you already?
I have. Is that
one of, you have.
Yeah, it's called called Pumping Guide, and over 40,000 copies have been downloaded. I've helped, I'm not going to say hundreds of thousands, but now tens of thousands of men discover the benefits of a vacuum erection device. And by the way, there's lady pumps. I pump my vulva and my clitoris in addition to doing Femi waves and O shots, because at 61. I have the most beautiful yoni. It was funny. I'm with my newest boyfriend, and he and I have only been together a few times, and he was down between my legs. He was gonna go down on me, but I was giving him what I like to call a pussy tour. You know, I was showing him all the parts because I'm kind of a genital anatomy geek.
Right.
And I was showing him everything and how they like to be touched. I like my outer labia kneaded between your fingers. I like this little line across my mons. I want you to go back and forth with your fingertips, and I don't want you to touch the skin. I want you to touch the tissue, the meat below the skin, and press, but not too hard. And I've got this little thing right here on the top quadrant that I must have gotten damaged somewhere. So I really want you to do a circular, you'll feel it, do a circular motion to get the blood flowing through there. And then I want you to stroke my clit hood like it's a violin string right across the top, you know. And I keep going and going and going and going. And I said to him, because I like to have adoration. My partner says I have an adoration kink. And I said, people, that's not a kink. Kinks are things that are an unusual thing, a non-normative thing.
Everyone wants adoration.
Adoration is normative. To adoration. Even if the woman herself can't receive adoration, her pussy will respond
she
to
wants
adoration
it.
Regardless. It is amazing to witness.
And I said to him, would you please adore my pussy while you're down there? And he said, well, the very first thing that's coming up for me is that she's so inviting. She's so open and inviting and there, available. Just you letting me look. He said, with my last partner, when I had this, you know, really long-term, almost sexless relationship, I felt like I had to like go in through the bush and open it up. And there were like no trespassing signs with bullet holes in them.
Yeah.
He says, there's your beautiful pink pussy just open to me. And he says, I see that your labia are kind of still closed. And I see that you're open, but you're also wanting to be more opened by me. And I'm also feeling it to be that you want it to be very languorous and very slow and unrushed. And that she's going to open for me. And I'm going to learn how to feel that.
He's like a little pussy oracle.
But I just thought that was so sweet. I love
so
that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, my God. Amazing.
What else is, you really demoed really well just there is with her practice of understanding and feeling and connecting to her vulva, you're able, Susan, to create wins for the people who get to love and pleasure you.
Yeah.
And by letting them know the variety of what expands you and opens you, that is such a gift. So many partners would love a roadmap, and you've invested the time to discover one. And I hope that inspires everyone who's listening, because if you can really find out what your map is like, and knowing that the terrain's always going to change, that's the exciting part, then you are always, there's an opportunity to win with each other. And that's what I think most people most want, is they want to feel like they're in their relationship, they're headed in the same direction. And that is, everyone gets a win. Woo-hoo! So many people feel like they're losing in sex, you know, like there's a test and there's failure and they take it too seriously and they're too goal oriented.
Yeah.
So I just, yum.
And if you want to keep winning with sex, then you need to get on Susan's mailing list and start tuning in with all of her.
Yes, I'm going to be headed there.
Susan, how can our listeners and viewers find you? What's the best way?
You can find me at, it's an unusual website. It's called personallifemedia.com. And there's a big search box at the top and you can search on anything and it'll get you into a million. I've been doing this for, you know, decades. And then I also have a video website, betterlover.com. And I think there's two videos on there that might be really good for there's a couple of videos. I did a whole series with Ariel Giaretto, who does the somatic experience technique, sexual healing. I'm sure you know Ariel. She's legendary. She's a train the trainer. And if you type in sexual healing at the top of betterlover.com, you'll come up with a whole series on somatic healing that shares her wisdom and my experiences. It also has a really good series of videos on yoni massage. I've worked a lot with Amara Charles in the Kwadoshka category. And there's another video that I think is really good, is how to make love to an old lady. I love that. Uh-huh. I also love passionate lovemaking step by step, which totally reframes what quote unquote sex is into the matriarchal perspective. So there's some good videos there. And then I'm on Instagram at Susan Bratton. And I also have an OnlyFans where I post things that I can't post anywhere else that are educational and sensual and sexy. That's not so much women aren't going to go to OnlyFans, but I'm saying it because at 61, I'm still showcasing how things are done, using my body as the vehicle for demonstrating techniques. And I'll tell you, a lot of the guys go there to see the yoni massage technique so they can do them for their female bodied partners. So,
I think that's, you know, so
that's
valuable.
Just kind of what I'm doing. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God. What a pleasure.
It's really, really great to be part of your world. I've admired the two of you from afar for so long that it's nice to be connected finally.
Oh,
such a pleasure.
Likewise. I can't wait to dig into your content further. I'm already imagining conversations I'm going to be having with my husband. Like, it's just going to, like, a new adventure is on the horizon. And I'm
yay. I like adventure. ArousalSecrets.com. I walk women through their whole genital structure and how the parts like to be touched and different ways to know that you're getting turned on and to understand how to slow down and listen and all that, which is kind of what we talked about.
Yeah, great.
So arousalsecrets.com.
And it was kind of fun. As I was just peeking at your website while you were telling it, I was like, oh, Sherry Winston. I wondered if you had crossed paths with her.
Oh, Sherry's one of my mentors. She's taught me so much. As a matter of fact, the arousal tips is Sherry and I talking about how to get turned on. Beautiful. So that was a nice one too. Yeah, she's awesome. A doll. She's been my dear, dear friend for decades. Nice. Yeah, I'm so lucky to have so many good
mentors.
Yeah. We all.
Well, thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Can't wait to continue this relationship. And everybody, love, 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 love to Susan and her whole life.
Now, our favorite part, the dish.
Susan Bratton.
Dish it up, girlfriend.
My
dish
God. What a dish. I am like so inspired by that woman.
Oh my God.
You know,
me too.
I thought I was over non-monogamy. I might be changing my tune after that interview.
I know. She's like, she might even change her mind.
I know.
She's really inspiring and filled with life and really knows her stuff. You can see what a sex geek she is. And I got to say, I do love a sex geek. I love people who love knowing all the
people. Yeah. It's so amazing. Fun. And, you know, I love how many times she claimed her age. I'm 61. And she looks phenomenal, first of all. And she's got all these amazing biohacks that she talked about at the end for your vulva. Not for your skin on your face, but I'm sure she has biohacks for that as well. Yeah. But just ways to keep yourself fresh and juicy and young and vital through menopause. I would actually love one of the questions I really wanted to ask her at the end, but we didn't have time, is about her journey through menopause. We got to hear all about her journey through healing her trauma and her journey to becoming open in her marriage.
But there's so many interviews I want to do with her. Like she's just like a funnel of wisdom, and I want to tap into it. Like, be so fun to do an episode, what you call them, adventure jobs. No, blow adventures.
Yeah. Blow it. No. What was it? So no, instead of a blow job. Oh, yeah. I think it was a blow adventure.
Yeah. And then I love the idea of having her on for, see what her insights are around menopause and see what her insights are around the cervical orgasm. I mean, there's and then there's just the whole penis erection topic.
Oh, God.
I think she had to illuminate.
Yeah.
The Gaines wave, and
which I had never heard of before. Oh, the Gaines wave. Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes out plaque in the penis.
Yes. It works with sound waves that help build collagen.
Like a sonogram.
I don't know exactly what the device looks like. I know a couple of people who have one that use it to treat people. Okay. And it really helps with, I'm going to probably butcher the name of this, Peroneus disease, Peroneus
disease.
Oh,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't think of it either.
Which is like when your penis is kind of crooked.
Yeah.
It helps correct the curvature.
Yeah. Due to trauma usually, but not always. Yeah.
But I mean, I've worked with men who do injections. I've worked with men who have worked with penis pumps. Uh-huh. So I'm pretty familiar with some of the techniques, but I don't feel very like educated as much as I would like to be.
And,
you know, I've just been able to dabble a little bit due to, you know, people being honest. And
well, we got to get her book. She has a book on fucking everything. 44 books. She has a book on penis pumps. She has a book on how to communicate inside of relationships. I mean, she's a wealth of information.
And she's got all this. I was looking at her when we ended the interview. I was kind of checking out her website and tons of video content. I mean, she's just, what a service she's providing.
Prolific. Yeah. Yeah. Really cool. Yeah. What was your favorite part about the interview? Like, what did it inspire inside of you?
It was really interesting. I didn't know that she had a sexual traumatic conditioning. So it was really interesting for me to experience her experience. There was a lot of resonance, you know, she's really fiery. Yeah. And so there was a part of me that could see some of me, like there was a familiarity, like we came from the same tribe or something. So I really loved her flavor and her, you know, she's sharp. She has embodied knowledge. It's what it is. I like that I can feel her embodied knowledge. It gives her credibility, trustability. Yeah. And even if her lifestyle scares the pants off of you, hopefully that's a good thing. Get your pants off. Yeah. You know, you don't have to follow anyone else's model of values, but to be able to be curious enough to appreciate the work and the journey that someone has been on to go from contracted to expansive, that can look a thousand different ways for everybody. And I really just love her modeling of her particular journey and the permissiveness.
Yeah, the permissiveness that she is through the roof. Yeah. I think she can be a really great inspiration for women who are, well, for everyone, but specifically women who have given up on sex because they've been in sex, you know, marriages where it's not comfortable, sex doesn't feel good, starting to go through menopause, atrophy of the tissues, not enough lubrication. I mean, these are all issues that all female bodies are going to go through during this transformation in our lives. And there are ways, there are many, many ways, and it's not going to happen on its own. It's a practice and it's something you pay attention to. She was talking about vulva pumping. She has an apparatus.
I want one of those. Yeah,
the vulva.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't try pumping my ball, but fuck
heck yeah.
Yeah. Let's get that pussy fat, baby. It's the best.
Yes. Bring the blood flow forward, people. Yeah. Bring the blood. You know, we work out our bodies. We work out our brains. We do those Sudoku brain games to keep our brains sharp, right? So why wouldn't we do these practices and these things to keep our genitals sharp and on point and like healthy throughout the rest of our lives? Some of my oldest, like most elderly, I would say, tantra clients have the most amazing sexual energy that I've ever seen. It's
amazing,
like phenomenal,
inspiring. Yeah,
inspiring.
It's interesting because I was. I mean, we're probably close to 15 years apart, me and Susan. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, you know, I'd like to grow into that more. Like that is. That is something I can aspire to.
Yeah.
I have lived in that radiance multiple times in my life, but I'm watching, there's something she has that I keep on thinking in my body, like, yeah.
Me too.
Like, I'm like cheering for
Yeah, let's just keep hanging out with Susan Bratton because she's the shit.
Yeah. All right, sweetie. All right. Well, this was fun. Thanks, Sus. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. Love. Ciao.
Thanks for tuning in. This episode was hosted by Tantric Sex Master Coach and Positive Psychology Facilitator, Leah Piper, as well as by Chinese and Functional Medicine Doctor and Taoist Sexology Teacher, Dr. Willow Brown. Don't forget, your comments, likes, subscribes, and suggestions matter. Let's realize this new world together.
Awaken Arousal Oil is my new best friend. Like Laura says, holy forking shirt balls, did it deliver on its promise. I could feel the blood flow and warmth, and that was the easiest I've ever achieved multiple orgasms. This is all natural botanical oils. It is made with CBD because CBD helps relax muscles and it eases tension. This stuff smells so good and it mixes with your pheromones like, mwah, so good. Get yourself some. Link is in the show notes.